Good morning.
Good morning.
It's very nice to be back at Camp Creek Church. I look forward to it when I am asked to come back, and I'm glad to do it. You folks have been a great encouragement over the years, and I'm just glad to be here. And I'm also glad that you have a very fine pastor. And I know he's teaching God's word, and from the one time I heard him preach, I knew that's the man for this church. And I hope that it's not going to go perfectly, because none of us are perfect, but I hope that with Pastor Appreciation Month, I hope that you'll take advantage of it. I know I had it happen to, said to me was, well, you should just know you're appreciated. And I said, well, you should know you're appreciated too. How about when you're parents and you wonder about your kids, do they appreciate you? And you don't see that appreciation until you grow older, am I right? Then they wake up, they grow up, and they go, you know, I understand better, because they're their own kids. I understand better what you did and how hard it was. And I have one son in particular, I won't mention his name, but Lori knew him really well. And you know, someone asked me a while back, they said, how's Kyle doing? I said, he's still the same. He's just a bigger body. And pretty much nails it. He's doing a great job. He's an athletic director, a baseball coach, and he couldn't be any better. He's got a beautiful little daughter, one of two granddaughters that we have, and the rest we got stuck with boys again. Guys, don't take that seriously. Okay, I need to jump in. This morning, we're going to look at, if you want to open your Bibles, this is some background for us. Yes, sir. Probably not. Remember the last time I was here, I turned it on and the volume was up too high and about we blew the lamps off the ceiling. Got to be smarter than the box here. Up top, that big one that says mute. No.
Hold it down. There you go.
Hey, it's green now.
All right. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to say it all over again because I already forgot. When you were singing the song about our mind, getting old. Yeah, I have my second oldest grandsons. I said, one day we were in the car and I said something about my hair. I said, well, yeah, I've gotten really grainy. He goes, Grandpa, your hair isn't gray, it's white. So he's not in the will any longer, on his own. Okay, we're going to talk about faith today, and we're going to talk about someone we're familiar with, but I was challenged. My pastor in our church did quite a study on the book of Hebrews, and if you look at Hebrews chapter 11 with me, just briefly, if you want to go there, you will see... it's called the Hall of Faith. You ever heard of that before? The Hall of Faith, in which you see here, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God, as was said so well this morning to the children. It's God's word, okay? It's there. It's true. Let me find my spot again. By the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. And then you see here, if you follow down through it, it talks about by faith, Enoch. He was taken up. He's one of the only ones I know of that was taken to heaven alive, because they were such close. God was so close, and he was close to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. That is verse 6. And then if you keep going, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Here's where we are in verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to his faith. And if you look, it talks about Abraham, it talks about Sarah. So that whole chapter is about faith. What we're looking at this morning is the children could have told us the story of Noah and the Ark, right? They're good at that. But as I found, as I was challenged to study that about Noah, I found some things that I forgot. That happens. And I found some things I'd not studied before about good old Noah. So it turned into this sermon. And so I wanted you to bear with me today as we look at this and as we work on this together. It's an example of the faith that God gave us and how we're supposed to live out that faith. And when I get done, I hope that you'll be challenged and be encouraged by what's happened. There's an encouragement here, what I just read. Do you ever feel that you're lost in the crowd, just part of the masses? Do you wonder whether holding to moral standards or practicing integrity is really worth it, especially when others succeed in bending the rules? Do you doubt that God even sees you? If you ever ask these questions, think of Noah. Amid the multitudes of powerful, ambitious, and self-centered inhabitants of planet Earth, God sees Noah. He spots just one man, and Noah finds favor in the eyes of the Lord. Wow. He found faith in the one who sees and knows and understands all things. Well, this is what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about Noah in his life. We're going to be, in, as you can see from your outline, Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to work down through that a little bit at a time. But I want you to see the background of this whole story of Noah and the ark. When the Lord, and I have my scripture here, okay? I print it in large print so I can read it, okay? And I appreciate whoever did the screen with the large print. I could do the songs this morning too. But anyways, this is where I'm at. It says in chapter 6, verse 5, says, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart," talking about man on earth, not Noah, "was only evil." It was violent. And it was continual. Okay, it wasn't just here and there. It's continual. "The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, 'I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. From man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them.'" This is God speaking. How disappointed and how sad, devastated God must have been. He created the heavens and the earth, and he created the inhabitants of the earth. And for him to say that, how bad must it have been? But verse 8 says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." If you happen to go to that program tonight at the country church, we had them there once before when I was there. The guys are great. But there's an old gospel chorus. Do you remember it? "Noah found sight in the eyes of the Lord." Well, that's where it came from. This is what happened. "These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God." Verse 11 says, "Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth." And then what we find out in verse 13, "Then God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them and the earth.'" Verse 14, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, and you shall cover it inside and out with pitch." I'll stop there, and we'll start with what the message is going to be this morning. Okay, here's what we got. The character of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. What does it mean to be a righteous man? He was without blame. Noah walked with God in spite of his surroundings. I read this story, and every time I read this story, and it talks about how sad God was, how righteously angry God was. Does it sound familiar in 2018? Someone said the other day, well, last week, our pastor was in his message, but it came up the fact there are 100 million Christians in China. Did you know that? 100 million Christians in China. What's happening to those people? Do you know? Persecution, right? They allowed the underground churches to function. They allow certain churches out in public. That's part of what they did. But every now and then they have a sweep, as I call it. They go in and they go after the pastors. They put them in prison. And you have to remember that their prisons are not country clubs. They're persecuted. They're tortured for their faith. Keep in mind that the people who in China who are Christians are there, and they're being persecuted. How about in other parts of the world? We're talking about violence. We're talking about persecution. We're talking about what? Evil. It's throughout the world. I found out from a lady that goes to our church. She has a ministry to young girls. Could be teenagers, could be older in the women area. And we found out from this lady that we kind of surprising, and it's not just Fort Wayne, Indiana, where we live, but it's all over. There's actually human trafficking taking place on the west end of Fort Wayne. By the truck stop, when you go in on 30, if you go to Fort Wayne, there's that big truck stop on the right, it's been there forever. There's little motels around there. And they capture these girls, and they put them into prostitution, and I won't go beyond that. It made us all sick to our stomach. Because we all think we live in a safe place, don't we? We all think that everything's fine. Everything's going to be okay. Well, in Noah's day, it was bad too. There's evil around us. And the Bible tells us that in the end times, and we hear that term a lot, don't we? But in the end times, things will grow darker. And things will become more evil. Things will become more violent. I don't say that to scare us to death or to be David the Downer today. I'm pointing this out to you because it's fact. We are living in a very difficult time. Not even going to get into politics. But Washington, D.C., I've been there once in my life. I have no desire to go back. If you are, that's great. It's wonderful. The place is bad, folks. There's evil taking place there. All the time. We've just been kind of naive to it. We live out in the Midwest. What do we know that's going on there? But you find out all the corruption that is there in all walks of life in that city. So Noah walked with God in spite of those surroundings. My challenge to us today, just to think about it. Are you walking with God faithfully? Because we live in very similar situations that Noah was living in many ways. The people in China sure are. Isn't it Pakistan where they're killing Christians by the hundreds every day? Think about that. That's the evil. But Noah walked with God in spite of surrounding and sin. He was obedient to do a difficult task, and we're going to talk about that task. Noah was remembered by God, and Noah was what? Delivered from death. He was delivered from death. His family was delivered from death. Of that great flood. Noah, by faith, worked out his salvation. In the sense, we have to look at that big ark and realize that was God's ark of salvation for the world today. Noah, warned by God with an everlasting covenant. At the end, it's not going to happen anymore. I've cleaned the earth up. God said, it's not going to happen like that again. But when will it happen again? Second coming. You know, since I was a child, in fact, they told me I was a week old or 2 weeks. They did things different back then. I was in church. I said, did I cause commotion? You know, little baby, I didn't know. And anyways, I've been in church, and all my life I've heard Jesus is coming soon. How many of you have heard the same thing, right? He hadn't come yet. I don't think we missed it. But the point of it is that God made a covenant with Noah that he would not flood the earth and take people out like that again. But there is one day coming when things are going to change. And this is what convicts me as I studied Noah. Am I living the way God would have me to live? Am I doing what God wants me to be doing with my life? I told you this before. I went back to college at age 30 with a wife and three children. See, I didn't forget that I went back to school because I wouldn't be here now, okay? But I want you to understand that that was Dawn and myself. That was our big step of faith. We've had others since then. But that was the step of faith of my dad was so excited that he was a college professor. He said, I'm so glad you're going to school, but how are you going to pay for it? I says, now you're being a downer. Come on, Dad. If God called us to do that, then God's going to provide. So if you're here this morning and God is challenging you individually to walk by faith and to accomplish some things from him, keep in mind, and that's why we're going to look at this today, what God did for Noah in his circumstance. What does God want this church to do? Take care of just yourselves? No. God wants you to reach out outside the walls of this church and talk to people and bring them to saving faith in Jesus Christ. You're thinking, how can I do that? I don't think I can tell people about Jesus. I don't know if I can talk the right language. I just don't know. If God calls you to something, he's going to equip you, and above that, he's going to strengthen you. What did Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Look at the persecution that he went for. Well, let me keep moving or I won't get done. All right? Noah was a righteous man. He was a blameless man. He walked with God. The interesting thing about that is that he did not have a Bible. It wasn't written yet. He didn't have Billy Graham having tent meetings around the place. Okay? He didn't have this church around then to preach the gospel to people. He walked with God differently if we would all do it, this place would be overflowing and all the churches, Bible teaching churches in our area would be overflowing with people. And I'm not criticizing you without criticizing me. How strong is our faith to do and be obedient to what God wants us to do? The ark itself. Have you ever thought, let me keep going. Let's go to verse 13. I left it here somewhere, okay? Verse 13 said, then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them. Verse 14, make for yourself the ark, okay, the ship. This is how, verse 15, this is how you shall make it. And then he gives them a description of this big dude, all right? It's the calling of Noah. He had an encounter with God. God had nobody to talk to on earth at that time except Noah. Noah was that special. Noah had that connection with God that we all needed and we all need today. He had a faith in a God that wasn't visible. He did not have the Holy Spirit who was in his life, because that didn't happen until after the death and resurrection of Jesus, remember? And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon certain individuals. Maybe Noah was like that. I've not found that written down, but that doesn't mean it's not there. He was the center of God's plan. There was nobody else. He was the center. He says, Noah, you're the man. Noah, I'm choosing you to build an ark. Wow. And as I look at that, you have the notes. It says, he was the center of God's plan. Do you know how humbling that is? Do you know that you're at the center of God's plan? Your family is at the center of God's plan? What did the Bible say? It says, go into all the world and do what? Preach and teach the gospel. He gives us the strength and the courage to do that. We've known those verses forever. And I'm on this, I hate to use the word kick right now, but I've been like this for a few years since I retired. Since I've been retired, I've had to sit down and think about things, okay? I don't know what I was doing before. I'm not sure. And don't ask anybody at the other church, okay? Listen, this is what God has a plan. Things aren't just kind of drifting around. God has a plan and a purpose. I almost did a message this morning from Jeremiah. It says, I know the plans that I have for you. That's our God. He has plans for us. He has plans for this church. He has plans for Bethel College. He has plans for Taylor University, where my son is. He has a plan. We have to have enough courage to seek out what it is. And we must be strong in our faith to do what God is asking us to do. Look at what he had, what is his whole situation. Look with me at verse 22 of that chapter. Look at what's there. Because I'm down to now the sacred task of Noah. Okay? Well, maybe I will show it to you. All right. There it is. I still can't read it, okay? I even highlight it and I can't read it. But we better get to the eye doctor. All right, verse 22. It says, well, verse 21, as for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible and gather it to yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them, meaning all that would come on board, and his family. He had a large family. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him to do, so he did. Now, has anybody been to Cincinnati area where the ark is? Some of you have. Is it really nice? I heard it's really huge. In fact, I've seen pictures of it, and they show people standing in front of it. It's huge. Let me try to put this in context. The ark itself is 460 foot long. Big deal, right? We all know a football field from this end line to this end line, including the touchdown area, is 120 yards. Okay? That's pretty big. That's 360 feet. Can you get that picture in your mind? The ark is another 100 feet. So that means at Triton, you would go outside into the parking lot and you stand there and just look and try to imagine how big that really is. You can see it. It was 45 feet high. Does anybody know how high the ceilings are here? 25 feet? I've never climbed it, so I don't know. 25 feet? Okay, 45 feet high. That's pretty big shit. And I wrote down here that it was 75 feet wide. So this is a big thing. And here's the task itself. It had one door. It had one window. It had three decks inside because the thousands of animals that were in there. Okay? It had no rudder. So it just floated wherever God put it. It had no mast to hook a sail onto it. And it was full of animals. Here's the other thing about it. The people didn't know what rain was. Remember, Noah went and said, God's going to take and ruin the earth, and he goes on and on, he's going to flood it. They didn't know what the rain was, number one. And number two, what was a flood? You've ever been in a flood? I think this morning, Tom, didn't you pray for the people that were flooded out in the Midwest? And my brother lives in South Carolina, and remember I told you 2 years ago he got flooded out? Well, I talked to him on the phone about the day before it hit, and he says, well, I said, are you evacuating? He says, no, we believe it's going to go north of us. It's going to go sort of around us. And I said, you're a brave soul. The sort of made me nervous. But his faith was that they were going to be spared, and they were. They got a lot of rain, but they were. I've been in a flood in Fort Wayne, if you remember, way back 1982. That's a long time. Some of you weren't even here. 1982. They had the flood of Fort Wayne, the St. Mary's River, and the St. Joe River, and the Maumee River all gather in Fort Wayne, right downtown. I can show you where the three rivers come together. And they flooded, and it flooded the downtown, and it flooded neighborhoods. One night I took a group of guys out, and we helped sandbag because there was an earthen dike that was about to let go. It was saturated. I wanted to see it when I got there. It was dark. I had the lights on from the military, and I walked back to the dike. And the guy described it as being as soft as toothpaste. And if the dike broke, 10,000 homes were going to be gone. Okay? And I looked up over the just enough light. I could see behind it was a middle school, and it had a football field, and it was below down here. Okay? And I looked at there, and the water on the field, football field for the middle school, was that much at the top of the goalpost. That much more, it had been over the goalpost. There was a water filtration plant way across. It's out north off of one of the big roads. And I thought to myself, that is a lot of water. I mean, I saw it in town. It was like, 3 feet, 4 feet deep. That's a lot of water. This was above the goal, right above top of the goalposts. So I'm reading this story, and I'm thinking Noah had all these things working against him. Keep in mind, this was in the desert where they built the boat. It took 40 years or 80 years. I get confused on that. I get confused a lot lately. A long time, all right? It's out in the middle of the desert. The people didn't know what a ship was. They didn't have a clue. And I looked at this and I said, I think back to those days back about 1980, thereabouts. I look back to those days and I think, and I was worried about how I was going to get money and finances to go back to school. And Noah is out in the middle of nowhere building something nobody knew what it was. And they hadn't seen rain, let alone seen a flood. And he had the faith to do what God wanted him to do. I've never had a task as difficult as his. Well, maybe you're raising three boys. Yeah, that's a possibility. No. But the point of it is, we have the same faith that Noah has. It's what we're doing with it. Are we doing things to strengthen it? To make it stronger? We're told to get strong in our faith. Well, how do you do that? You spend time reading God's word. You spend time praying to God, looking for direction. We have the Holy Spirit who indwells us. If we're born-again Christians, the Holy Spirit is given to us. He helps us to read the Scriptures and understand them. He helps us to make wise decisions in our daily life. He helps this church to function. It's the Holy Spirit. He's a gift from God. Noah didn't have that. He did have God, which is bigger than the Holy Spirit. But my point is simply this. He had an enormous task. And you know what else? It was a lonely task. He wasn't a builder. So his sons got, well, you're helping Dad. We're going to build this ark. I wonder what the kids thought. Dad, you've been out in the sun too long. My kids say that to me now. Dad, you got it slow. You're out in the sun too long. But it is because I'm playing golf. What else is there? Okay. So he had an enormous task. He had a lonely task. No one but his family listened to him. They'd come out and laugh at him and mock him. You can only imagine. You can only imagine. He didn't have anything. The old expression for leaders, it's lonely at the top. Guess what? It's lonely at the top. That's why I hope you're welcoming the time that you can show your pastor and his wife and family how much you appreciate them. I was cleaning out closets in the house. You can tell I was bored to do that, right? I was bored. So I started cleaning things out. And, of course, Dawn appreciates it, and I always want to appreciate and make my wife feel happy and glad, and you know all that husband stuff, happy wife, happy life. I believe in that. She's put up with me for, well, it'll be 50 years next July. I never knew I was that old. If you could see our wedding pictures, you'd understand that. I looked like I was 12. Okay. Being a leader can be lonely. It is lonely at the top because you're making decisions. Dads, when you're making decisions for your family, do you, even though you have a wife to talk to about it, you sometimes feel like you're kind of alone? Because the decision you're going to end up saying, Dawn always says to me, you do what you want. It's your decision. She doesn't mean that, but, you know, it's good to say that, you know. So long as I make the right decision, and we all know what the, no, my wife is wonderful. She's a saint for sure. The point of it is, being a leader can be lonely. In Noah's case, he was really lonely. He didn't have any Christian radio to listen to or a CD player to play some hymns and worship songs to encourage him. He didn't have the song, Jesus Loves Me. And Barb, that's so true when we think about it. It's Jesus who loves us. It's God's riches. It's God's riches that keep us going day to day. I don't think we take enough advantage, and God wants us to take advantage, of his riches. His riches include his peace that surpasses understanding, the hope that's the anchor of the soul, not a hope so. He gives us physical strength. He gives us spiritual strength. He owns everything, and he wants to share that with us. He allows us to do owning, whatever. It's God's riches, folks. Not anybody else's. It's God's riches that are second to none. It's God's riches. It's God's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the acrostic for the word grace. So as we look at this, he's lonely. I tell you, didn't finish my story. I was cleaning the closet. One of the closets. And there's stuff in there that I haven't touched since we moved in 4 years ago. Still wondering why I kept it or moved it. But I'm looking through here and I'm throwing things away. And then I reached my hand in this in one of my file cabinets. It was just a collect-all. And I pulled a scrapbook out. The scrapbook was dated the year 2000. I went, gee, this is interesting. And so I opened it up, and what it was from one of the pastor appreciation month when I was at the country church. And it was just full of thank you for something, whatever it was. Thank you for being an encouragement. We don't do that as pastors to build our egos. But you have to understand, and I think I've shared this with you before, every Saturday night before I preached for 25 years, and before that with the youth ministry, every Saturday night, Satan was alive and well, patrolling the house and checking things out. Discouraged me. I couldn't begin to tell you how many times I would think about changing a sermon at 3 in the morning. A little late. But what it was just a time of discouragement, a time of frustration, a time of you're not adequate to teach this stuff. You don't believe this stuff. And you start doubting yourself. But that's what happens. So when we say to you, pray for your pastor, pray for your pastor. Just pray for him. I never say never. I would rarely go to the congregation and say, it's lonely at the top. Or I'm really frustrated right now. Rarely did I ever say it. Now my elders, they got an earful. My board, they got an earful. So, Roger, I'm not here to, yeah, I am. I'm here to encourage you and your pastor. It's a side note to the message. And I realize that I'm done. That clock back there, is there an alarm hooked to that thing? You know, when we remodeled the sanctuary at the church, one of the things I had to watch what they did was that they didn't build a trap door. Seriously, I thought, boy, that would hurt going down that hole. And it's a nice clock. All right. I'd be lying if I said I couldn't read it. That one I can't read because there's those windows reflect in it. So now my excuses are gone. I wonder how many moments that Noah felt like this was stupid. Excuse me, kids. This was dumb. What am I doing? 40 years of this? Or 80 years, whatever it turned out, if somebody knows, I got it written in my notes, I just can't find it. But he had all those years of building it, and do you think he got a little worn out with all the harassment? Think about it. His faith was strong enough that the harassment did not keep him from doing God's purpose, God's will for him. So I say to you this morning, what kind of I put down on the bottom of it there, you see the legacy of Noah? You know, I've done many funerals in my day, like most pastors do. And at the end of my messages, if you've been to any of the funerals I do, I say, your mom or your dad or your uncle, whatever, what's his legacy? What's her legacy? Have they passed that legacy on to you? Have you realized, my legacy my mom taught me was that, well, she was a worrier, so that wasn't a good one. But my mom's legacy was she prayed. She prayed, she prayed, she prayed, she prayed. And boy, she had four boys, so she needed to pray. And I was the only good one, you know. So since none of them are here, you don't know them, I can say what I want. What's the legacy of Noah? Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Noah brought grace and peace into the world through the salvation that God showed him and gave him. His legacy was he was a faithful, blameless man. And I ask us this morning, and I've been asking myself this for a long time, okay, so I'm not picking on anybody. It starts here. How strong is your faith? You young folks. Jack, you said it right with the kids. They got to believe the Bible, and they're going to be told they're foolish, they're fairy tales, they're stupid, they're dumb, whatever. That's what's going to happen, isn't it? You see, we're in the end times, and things are growing darker and scarier. I'm convinced of it. Jesus is coming soon. How's it go, Barb? Maybe morning, night, or noon. I believe that with all my heart. I've been believing it since I was 8, but I think there's signs now. Do you know the only prophecy that needs to be fulfilled now is Jesus coming? All the other stuff is done. You think about that. But let me finish. Noah made it to the Hall of Faith. Grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, adults, what's your legacy going to be for the children that are in your life? What's it going to be? Are you going to be faithful all the way to the end, even when the world around you is not? That's the challenge. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Noah and Abraham and all the ones I read to you are examples of faith. But when I studied these things about just Noah, because the pastor did all the other ones, and when I studied Noah, I began to understand the circumstances in which he lived. Think about all those things. And he did it. And he did it anyways. He'd never build anything. He didn't even know what a ship looked like. But yet his faith in God was so. That's why God chose him. You want to think about another guy like that is Abraham. Abraham was not walking with God. God called him out. And Abraham came to salvation through his encounter with God. And Abraham was what? The father of the Jewish nation. That's pretty cool. He got picked out of everybody. So we can go on, and we won't. Is your stomach growling? Okay. Remember, he was in a morally corrupt society. Remember the description of the ark? They were in the ark for 40 days. Who closed the door to the ark? God. Who made it possible to open the door of the ark? God. You see, God's never going to leave you or forsake you. I think the first message I preached here was Deuteronomy 31. It's the Lord your God who goes before you preparing the way. He promises to never leave you or forsake you. Maybe not the exact words that Noah had to listen to, but that's what he believed. If God calls me, I'm going to do it. And he was blessed. Because you know that Noah built the first altar to God? That's pretty special. That's pretty special stuff. But Noah is known for his faith and for bringing the salvation that God intended for the world. He brought it forward. Aren't you glad? Amen? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that we can study and be encouraged by. Lord, I lift up people in leadership in churches and institutions, Christian institutions all around the country. I know for a fact that they get discouraged. But yet their faith keeps them going. Thank you for the gift of faith that you brought into the world. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for loving us. Thank you. Lord, we lift up our country to you today. Extremely divided. I'm sure that you're saddened by all that's taking place in our world. You allow it, but it's got to be sad, Lord, as you look down on us just the way you look down on earth when the ark was built. Lord, we pray for your grace and your mercy in these days. We pray, Lord, for those in authority over us, that you would get their attention, that you would cause all of us to stop and think about what we're doing. Or stop and think about what we're not doing. And we thank you in advance, knowing that that's what you will do if we'll reach out and call out to you in these days until Jesus comes back. Thank you, Father God, for all that you say and all that you do in our lives. Thank you for the blessings. In your name, we all say amen. Thank you.